The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Deborah Love for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Health Issues. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the Mayo Clinic Health Letter and from an article from the Harvard Medical School. You may recall that last week we began a special issue from the Mayo Clinic newsletter about dementia. This week, we continue with that article and take a look at some of the lifestyle and brain health choices that we can make to help delay or forestall dementia. So the choices you make every day also can keep your brain working at its best. Researchers have found that nearly 40% of the time, dementia is associated with risk factors that can be changed. This means, in theory, if you can manage specific aspects of your health, you may be able to reduce your risk of developing brain-related conditions or potentially slow their progression. Researchers have found certain lifestyle choices are most helpful in preventing brain health and mental well-being throughout life. The first of these, of course, is stay active. Staying physically active is one of the most important steps you can take to protect brain health. In one study, researchers divided participants into two groups. One group took part in aerobic exercise. The other group did stretching and balance exercises. After 1 year, researchers noticed that the participants who exercised aerobically had a larger hippocampus, the part of the brain that makes new memories. In another study, researchers found that a combination of aerobic and resistance exercise was most effective in reducing and possibly preventing dementia, as well as delaying its progression. Exercise improves blood flow, which is beneficial to brain health. Exercise also boosts the level of chemicals that naturally protect the brain. How much exercise do you need? That exact amount that's best for your brain health isn't known. The American Heart Association recommends at least 150 minutes of moderate intensity exercise each week and suggests 300 minutes a week would be even better. A total of 150 minutes equals 30 minutes of exercise 5 days a week. Then they advise that we eat more plants. Much of the research involving diet and brain health has focused on the MIND diet. That's M-I-N-D, stands for Mediterranean Dash Intervention for Neurodegenerative Delay. Glad they called it MIND. The diet is a hybrid of the popular dietary approaches to stop hypertension, which is known as the DASH diet, and the Mediterranean diet. The MIND diet blends many components of the two and includes foods associated with a decreased risk of Alzheimer's disease and disease-related brain changes. The MIND diet emphasizes plant-based foods, including leafy vegetables, whole grains, beans, nuts and berries, and olive oil. It also recommends fish and lean poultry and limits foods with high levels of saturated fat and added sugars. Research suggests that the MIND diet produces small to moderate improvements in cognition and memory. The MIND diet is rich in vitamins, carotenoids, and flavonoids. These compounds are believed to protect the brain by reducing oxidative stress and inflammation. While the aim of the diet is brain health, it is also likely to benefit heart health and protect against diabetes and certain cancers. To eat more mindfully, pun intended there, Follow these basic guidelines. 6-plus servings a week of leafy green vegetables. 1-plus servings a day of vegetables other than leafy green. 5-plus servings a week of nuts. 4-plus meals a week of beans. 3-plus servings a day of whole grains. 2-plus servings a week of berries. 2-plus meals a week of poultry. 1-plus meals a week of fish and olive oil or fat. So let's take a look at what they consider some of the power plants to be and how those affect brain health. First, they say a power plant is berries, and it protects because it's rich in oxidants that protect brain cells from damage and flavonoids that may improve brain functions. Another power plant food is grapes, because they're full of resveratrol, a memory-boosting compound. Then there's watermelon, which is high in lycopene, a powerful cell-protecting antioxidant. And then there are beets, a source of nitrates, which help to dilate blood vessels, allowing more oxygen to reach the brain. And, of course, we always talk about dark leafy greens. They're rich in folate, which eases inflammation and improves circulation, as well as having cell-protecting antioxidants. Nuts are a good source of omega-3 and fatty acids, which may protect blood vessel health. And lastly, olives and extra virgin olive oil are rich in cell-protecting antioxidants. The article also advises that another lifestyle change we can make or follow is to prioritize sleep. It's not news that getting enough good quality sleep is important for overall health and well-being, but to reduce the risk of dementia, good sleep seems to be especially critical. Research suggests not enough quality sleep over your lifetime may increase the risk of dementia. In fact, researchers have found that people who don't get enough sleep may be twice as likely to be diagnosed with cognitive impairment. Gosh, I hope it's not already too late for me on that front. During sleep, beta amyloid and other toxins are cleared from the brain. If you don't get good sleep, especially over a long period of time, removal of toxins may not work as well. Lack of sleep also can increase your risk of other diseases linked to dementia, such as high blood pressure and diabetes. Plus, poor sleep can worsen symptoms of depression, stress, and anxiety. For most adults, the recommendation is 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. But it's not just the length of time you're in bed that matters. The quality of your sleep is important, too. Sleep disorders, such as sleep apnea or insomnia, can keep you from getting enough deep, restorative sleep, which ultimately may affect brain health. Diagnosing and treating sleep apnea and insomnia are important to preserving brain health. Then, they recommend that we maintain social connections. The number of people in your social network, how diverse your connections are, and how often you're in touch with the people in your social circle all play a role in how well your brain functions. That makes staying connected with others, especially later in life, an important factor in preserving brain health and preventing brain changes that can lead to dementia. Social connections are thought to benefit the brain in many ways. Engaging with others triggers the release of chemicals such as serotonin and dopamine, which improve mood and outlook and protect the brain from dementia, especially dementia caused by Alzheimer's disease. In addition, social connections are thought to boost cognitive reserve, which helps protect the brain against age-related changes. People with larger social networks and who spend more time engaged socially perform better with mental tasks. Social isolation, meanwhile, may make you more likely to have trouble with thinking and memory. Isolation also may increase the odds of developing Alzheimer's disease and conditions linked to it, such as high blood pressure and heart disease. So let's take a little more in-depth dive into what cognitive reserve means. The term cognitive reserve describes the brain's ability to adapt and compensate for physical changes. You might think of it like a bank account for your brain. People with more cognitive reserve can lose more brain tissue and connections without noticing symptoms. Autopsies performed on brains of intelligent and mentally active people who didn't exhibit any signs of dementia found that some had plaques and tangles in their brains. Why didn't these people develop dementia symptoms? Researchers theorize that their cognitive reserve held the disease at bay. Some companies advertise brain training programs designed to improve cognitive reserve and memory in general. According to research, there's not much proof that these activities help. Instead, experts recommend building cognitive reserve by stimulating your brain throughout your life. Activities that are at least moderately challenging to the brain, such as learning a new skill or a new language, seem to help most in building this reserve. It seems that people who spend more time engaged in learning throughout their lives develop more robust networks of neurons in their brain and bolster the connections between them. So, getting back to what are some of the lifestyle things we can do? Well, we can get a hearing test. What does your hearing have to do with brain health? Quite a bit, it turns out. Humans are social creatures. Most people seek out connections with others and thrive on them. But maintaining social connections can be difficult when your ability to communicate is hampered. Hearing loss can strain relations with family, friends, coworkers, and anyone you interact with regularly. For example, when you can't hear much of what's being said at a dinner party, you may tire quickly or feel left out. This may even cause you to skip these events and stay home. In avoiding situations that you know will be difficult, you're also cutting yourself off from the world around you. Hearing loss also makes it more challenging to decode sounds. As you strain to figure out what people around you are saying, you increase the cognitive load on your brain. In other words, hearing loss can make the brain work harder at the expense of other brain functions. For these reasons, studies have linked hearing loss to an increased risk of other health conditions, including cognitive decline. People with mild hearing loss are twice as likely to develop dementia as adults with typical hearing. The risk of developing dementia increases threefold for moderate hearing loss and fivefold for severe loss. Then they advise to address vision problems. Much like hearing, your ability to see the world around you has an impact on cognition. People with uncorrected vision loss have a higher risk of developing dementia. The greater the vision impairment, the greater the dementia risk appears to be. Have regular eye exams, generally every year or two, unless you need more frequent checks for existing eye concerns or other health conditions that can affect vision, such as diabetes or high blood pressure. Talk with your healthcare team about treatments for eye conditions such as cataracts or glaucoma. These can help preserve both your vision and your cognitive abilities. Then they say you should manage stress. Several studies show that chronic stress, the feeling of constantly being overwhelmed by one or more of life's challenges, can result in the shrinkage of the hippocampus. This area of the brain is important to the creation and storage of memories. Extreme and prolonged stress can increase chronic inflammation and affect cell aging. When you're faced with a stressful situation, a surge of hormones temporarily increases your blood pressure and causes your blood vessels to narrow. While there's not a clear proof that stress can cause long-term high blood pressure on its own, it's linked to factors that can increase your risk of high blood pressure. High blood pressure is a risk factor for cognitive impairment, including Alzheimer's disease. Strategies for keeping stress in check include exercise, a healthy diet, a simplified daily schedule, and mind-body therapies such as deep breathing, meditation, and yoga. Studies also show that mind-body practices improve overall emotional well-being. If you are struggling with your anxiety or mood, it might be helpful to speak with your primary care team about a referral to a mental health specialist for additional support and treatment. And lastly, they suggest that we monitor our overall health. Your brain is only as healthy as the blood vessels that nourish it. If blood vessels become weakened or damaged, it's more difficult to transport nutrients and oxygen to brain cells that need them to function. To protect your blood vessels, be sure to follow your care team's advice for managing weight, cholesterol, blood pressure, and blood sugar. And they suggest that the ideal numbers for that are for weight, body mass index between 18.5 to 24.9. For total cholesterol, less than 200 milligrams per deciliter. For blood pressure, less than 120 over 80 millimeters of mercury. And for fasting blood sugar, less than 100 milligrams per deciliter. Other lifestyle habits, such as regular exercise, a healthy diet, and restful sleep, also play a role. Finally, avoid air pollution as you're able, don't use tobacco products, and either abstain from alcohol or keep your intake moderate. That means no more than 2 drinks a day for men and 1 for women. So, what is the path forward in the area of dementia? If you've recently learned you have dementia, you may find yourself focusing on your anticipated losses and declines, but it's critical to see the bigger picture. Yes, in many ways, life will never be the same. As you learn to live with your disease, expect that you will experience losses, feel heartache, make mistakes, and get frustrated. At the same time, you're still the same person you were before your diagnosis. Dementia changes some things, but not everything, and not all at once. One of the best things you can do after being diagnosed with dementia is to continue your regular routines as best you can. Very few people are diagnosed in the late stages of the disease, so there's still a lot of living to do. Stay engaged in life and keep doing activities that you enjoy. Have a plan or a schedule for your day that keeps you active and socially engaged. People living with dementia can continue to maintain full and meaningful lives for years to come. The key is to focus on what you can still do and to give yourself the same understanding and compassion you would to a good friend. That concludes the special issue from the Mayo Clinic Health Letter. However, now I'd like to turn to some news from the Harvard Medical School. Stephanie Dutchin is writing for the Harvard Medical School News and asks, could lithium explain and treat Alzheimer's disease? What is the earliest spark that ignites the memory-robbing march of Alzheimer's disease? Why do some people with Alzheimer's-like changes in the brain never go on to develop dementia? These questions have bedeviled neuroscientists for decades. Now a team of researchers at Harvard Medical School may have found an answer. Lithium deficiency in the brain. That's lithium deficiency in the brain. The work, just recently published in Nature, shows for the first time that lithium occurs naturally in the brain, shields it from neurodegeneration, and maintains the normal function of all major brain cell types. The findings, 10 years in the making, are based on a series of experiments in mice and on analyses of human brain tissue and blood samples from individuals in various stages of cognitive health. The scientists found that lithium loss in the human brain is one of the earliest changes leading to Alzheimer's, while in mice, similar lithium depletion accelerated brain pathology and memory decline. The team further found that reduced lithium levels stemmed from binding to amyloid plaques and impaired uptake in the brain. In a final set of experiments, the team found that a novel lithium compound that avoids capture by amyloid plaques restored memory in mice. The results unified decades-long observations in patients, providing a new theory of the disease and a new strategy for early diagnosis, prevention, and treatment. Affecting somewhere between 50 million and 400 million people worldwide, Alzheimer's disease includes an array of brain abnormalities, such as clumps of the protein amyloid beta, neurofibrillary tangles of the protein tau, and loss of protective protein called REST, R-E-S-T. But these never explain the full story of the disease. For instance, some people with such abnormalities show no signs of cognitive decline. And recently developed treatments that target amyloid beta typically don't reverse memory loss and only modestly reduce the rate of decline. It's also clear that genetic and environmental factors affect risk of Alzheimer's, but scientists haven't figured out why some people with the same risk factors develop the disease while others don't. Lithium, the study authors say, may be the critical missing link. The idea that lithium deficiency could be a cause of Alzheimer's disease is new and suggests a different therapeutic approach, said senior author Bruce Yankner, professor of genetics and neurology at the Blavatnik Institute at Harvard Medical School, who in the 1990s was the first to demonstrate that amyloid beta is toxic. The study raises hope that researchers could one day use lithium to treat the disease in its entirety rather than focusing on a single facet such as amyloid beta or tau, he said. The authors identified a class of lithium compounds that can evade capture by amyloid beta. Treating mice with the most potent amyloid-evading compound, called lithium orate, reversed Alzheimer's disease pathology, prevented brain cell damage, and restored memory. Other lithium compounds are already used to treat bipolar disorder and major depressive disorder, but they are given at much higher concentrations that can be toxic, especially to older people. Yankner's team found that lithium orate is effective at 1,000th that dose, enough to mimic the natural level of lithium in the brain. Mice treated for nearly their entire adult lives showed no evidence of toxicity. You have to be careful about extrapolating from mouse models, and you never know until you try it in a controlled human clinical trial, Yankner said. But so far, the results are very encouraging. Yankner's lab partnered with the Rush Memory and Aging Project in Chicago, which has a bank of postmortem brain tissue donated by thousands of study participants across the full spectrum of cognitive health and disease. Having that range was critical because trying to study the brain in the late stages of Alzheimer's is like looking at a battlefield after a war, said Yankner. There's a lot of damage, and it's hard to tell how it all started. But in the early stages, before the brain is badly damaged, you can get important clues, he said. Led by first author Liviu Aron, senior research associate at the Yankner Lab, the team used an advanced type of mass spectroscopy to measure trace levels of about 30 different metals in the brain and blood of cognitively healthy people, those in an early stage of dementia called mild cognitive impairment, and those with advanced dementia. Lithium was the only metal that had markedly different levels across groups and changed at the earliest stages of memory loss. Its levels were high in the cognitively healthy donors, but greatly diminished in those with mild impairment or full-blown Alzheimer's. The team replicated its findings in samples obtained from multiple brain banks nationwide. Then Yankner and colleagues took things a step further. They demonstrated in mice that lithium depletion isn't merely linked to Alzheimer's disease, it helps drive it. The researchers found that feeding healthy mice a lithium-restricted diet brought their brain lithium levels down to a level similar to that in patients with Alzheimer's disease. This appeared to accelerate the aging process, giving rise to brain inflammation, loss of synaptic connections between neurons, and cognitive decline. In Alzheimer's mouse models, depleted lithium dramatically accelerated the formation of amyloid beta plaques and structures that resemble neurofibrillary tangles. Lithium depletion also activated inflammatory cells in the brain called microglia, impairing their ability to degrade amyloid, caused the loss of synapses, axons, and neuroprotecting myelin, and accelerated cognitive decline and memory loss, all hallmarks of Alzheimer's disease. The mouse experiments further revealed that lithium altered the activity of genes known to raise or lower Alzheimer's, including the most well-known, APOE. Replenishing lithium by giving the mice lithium orate in their water reversed the disease-related damage and restored memory function, even in older mice with advanced disease. Notably, maintaining stable lithium levels in early life prevented Alzheimer's onset. What impresses me the most about lithium is the widespread effect it has on various manifestations of Alzheimer's. I really have not seen anything like it in all my years working on this disease. Since lithium has not yet been shown to be safe or effective in protecting against neurodegeneration in humans, Yankner emphasizes that people should not take lithium compounds on their own. But he expresses cautious optimism that lithium orate or a similar compound will move forward into clinical trials in the near future and could ultimately change the story of Alzheimer's treatment. My hope is that lithium will do something more fundamental than any anti-amyloid or anti-tau therapies, not just lessening, but reversing cognitive decline and improving patients' lives, he said. That's all for our two special programs about Alzheimer's disease and dementia. I hope you enjoyed them. You know, I've been recording this now for about 3 months, the Health Issues show, and I would love to hear from you about how you are reacting to it. You know, are there topics you'd like to hear more about or topics you'd like to hear less about? Am I reading too fast? Am I reading too slow? Well, you can give us that feedback by contacting us at the North Carolina Reading Service. You can contact us by calling 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138, or send a note to the North Carolina Reading Service.org. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to next week.